A billion Catholics around the world are at least aware of, if not completely focused, on the conclave that is about to begin to select the replacement for Pope Benedict, stepping down today. We'll talk about the ancient rituals that govern the conclave in just a moment. But first, Rachel Donadio, Rome bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What was the teary sort of goodbye from Pope Benedict? He gave his last public address. And are there any details as to how he's going to behave once he steps off into obscurity?
I think he will be quiet. I think the guy needs some rest. What he did today was have a farewell to the cardinals, many of whom will elect his successor, as well as to other high-ranking prelates in the Vatican hierarchy. He sat on a golden throne in the Clementine Hall of the Apostolic Palace and gave an unexpected, in some ways, off-the-cuff speech in which he effectively swore unconditional reverence and obedience to his successor. That's normally something that cardinals do after they've chosen a new pope. But since the pope will effectively, in many ways, remain a cardinal but not participate in the conclave to get his successor, he said that today. And then all of the cardinals came and greeted him individually. Many of them kissed his ring, kissed his hands, some laughed with him. And, then he was off. It's kind of an amazing day.
Is there monitoring of the cardinals as they arrive from various places around the world? I mean, I know it's not a red carpet or anything, but there must be some awareness of people coming from all of these various dioceses.
That's right. They're coming from around the world. Certainly the media from around the world is following them. Today at the Vatican press office, the Vatican spokesman said that nearly 3,700 journalists are now accredited to cover this conclave. And the cardinals will be coming. They're going to start informal gatherings, conversations, lunches, coffees, chatting, getting to know each other. And then they'll formally decide when to begin the conclave, which is supposed to be about 15 days after the papacy is vacant, but the Pope changed the rules so the cardinals can decide to move that up if they want to, since they already know he's retiring. It's not like a death, which is generally more unexpected.
Any chance of coming on one of those cardinals, sitting and talking and having coffee and asking them a few questions?
It's been known to happen. I think that all 3,700 of us are going to try to find those 115 cardinals who will be choosing the next pope and trying to hear their thoughts.
Good luck. Rachel Donadio, of course, Rome bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
When conclaves happen at the Vatican, the mysterious College of Cardinals steps into the light to do something watched by the entire world. It's a process shrouded in mystery, and it is known that there are members of the clergy who follow it like horses at the track. The serene spiritual mission of the cardinals at this time becomes a political fight over the future of a billion world Catholics. And my next guest is Father James Weiss, a professor of church history at Boston College. And if there was a daily racing form on the cardinals at the Vatican, you might just see his byline. He gave us a glimpse behind the Vatican's very thick curtain.
The fact is, this conclave meets under a cloud. The cardinals know that the Pope has received a very extensive report, some say 1,000 pages, detailing a number of scandals and corruptions in the Vatican administration, but he will only release that to the next Pope. So the cardinals know that they can't trust each other at this point. They also know that at least a dozen of them have been asked not to come because of their protection of child-abusing priests. The problem with this conclave is unique, and we haven't had this problem since 1914 or 1730, were the last two conclaves that gathered with such mutual distrust among the cardinals. And not just distrust, but ignorance. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to trust.
Let me advance a scenario here. It sounds like, based on what you've just told me, that there could be a pretty spirited debate among the cardinals over whether to name someone who suggests all is well, yes, we've had some problems, but we're choosing someone who represents solidity and tradition here in the church, and that's our message going forward, versus a faction which says, no, we must clean house, we must have a completely different face. The best message to send is no more business as usual at the Vatican. Do you think that's a debate that's going on?
Yes, I do. And I think you've formulated it very well, because one thing we've learned about leaders in the Vatican and cardinals across the world is that they don't think like other organizational leaders. They can think in ways that observers would call self-destructive or counterproductive. And so there will certainly be people who say we need to continue to refuse to disclose things, maintain a culture of non-transparency, and project the notion that all is well. The problem is that has not served them, and their house is on fire as we speak because of those policies. So I think rather than projecting an image that all is well, they will probably go for someone who can say all is not well, but there's hope. And that hope will have to be grounded in a kind of realistic assessment of changes that need to take place, which will include some painful personnel purges in the Vatican.
All right, so it's all hands on deck there at the Vatican. Before we go, the detail that I love that so many people know about, of course, the notification of what's happened in the conclave, it's dark smoke that indicates continued lack of a majority or a deadlock, correct?
That's right.
And the white smoke that indicates that a decision has been made.
They keep getting the chemicals wrong, John. Every papal election since 1958, they put some chemicals in with the ballots they're burning, and they keep getting it wrong. So the smoke is always some strange shade of gray.
I guess, do they have a higher supply than normal of the gray or dark chemical on hand for this conclave, do you think?
Let me put it this way. Most modern conclaves have been over within 1 or 2 days. The process of conversation before the conclave is usually pretty efficient. I think it's very possible that this conclave could drag on for a few days. So I would say, yes, they should stock up on the chemicals that make for black smoke. I could be very wrong, but they have a lot of homework to do before the conclave.
Father James Weiss, a professor of church history at Boston College, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
You know, Pope Benedict started out as the scholarly sidekick of Pope John Paul II. He ends up resigning. We want to know about your favorite sidekicks. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. More on that is The Takeaway. Stay with us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.